The glorification will start now, and then at around 11:30, 11:45 we'll have the special bhoga offering. 12:20 we'll be having Pushpanjali. 12:30 Aarti and Kirtan, and 1:15 Prasadam. Then in the evening the program will be at 7 PM in Srila Prabhupada quarters. 7 PM will be Kirtan, 7:25 special Aarti in Srila Prabhupada's bedroom, 7:50 Vaishnava Bhajans, 8 PM glorification of Srila Prabhupada by devotees, 8:20 PM video show, and then snack prasadam at 9:30. So with that we will formally start this morning's program. We are a little delayed, so we won't waste much time. I first request His Grace Narasimhananda Prabhu to speak a few words on Srila Prabhupada's disappearance.
Offer my humble obeisances to the lotus feet of my spiritual master, who's opened my eyes, darkened by ignorance, for the torchlight of knowledge. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamane Namaste Saraswati Devam Govardhani Pacharne Nishesa Sunyavari Paschita Desh Etarne. I'm from Los Angeles Temple most of the time, so I was doing a little thinking and researching of some stories from Los Angeles, and one of them that I came across happened back in 1968-69. At that time, the temple was not where it is today. The temple was on La Cienega Boulevard, and the devotees were going to parks and beaches with Harinam and offering prasad, and then bringing people back to the Sunday feast in the van. And Prabhupada was present to give initiations at that time. And so he was preparing everything in the temple, instructing the devotees how to do the yajna. And into the temple room came an older Mataji and her disciples. Her name was Shamdasi. She had some older Hindu disciples there, and she'd somehow or another heard about this yajna being performed, and she came and sat, and Prabhupada performed the initiation ceremony with her watching, with her coterie of her followers. And afterward there was a kirtan, and as was usually the case in those days, the devotees only danced the Swami step. And that's the very famous step where we undulate back and forth between the weight on the right foot and the weight on the left foot. There was no other kind of dancing. And you may wonder, how is it that today we're more like whirling dervishes in the temple, and we're choreographing our movements together, and so many things are happening with our feet and our hands and all these things? Well, I'm going to tell you where it all began, and it all begins as it should begin, with His Divine Grace, A.C., Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Because as the devotees were just leaning back and forth to the sound of the mridanga, the one mridanga and kartals, Swami Prabhupada, as he was called in those days, he was a little bit up. There was a raised area where he had performed the yajna. And he came from doing his Swami step there, he actually jumped down where the devotees were dancing, and he started to, in the words of the memory of the devotee, started to bounce, jumping up and down, And the devotees were astonished. They'd never seen Prabhupada jumping up and down. They'd only seen him going back and forth and back and forth. And so the floodgates suddenly opened. And all the devotees started to jump and twirl and dance like madmen. And this Shamdasi, who'd come to visit, she motioned to one her aide to take out of the bag a drum, a mridanga drum that she had brought with her. And she took the drum and stood up, and she, like a butterfly, started to dance around with the devotees and Prabhupada. And then just she and Prabhupada were dancing around together, and the devotees were jumping up and down and up and down. And everyone was in ecstasy. 1968 or 69, we can't remember which year. This was the precursor to the wonderful, exhilarating feeling one can express in kirtan. And it all started when Prabhupada came down from that little raised area and began to jump up and down in ecstasy to the sound of the kirtan. So I wanted to share that with you. Another story that I wanted to tell was... I don't have that much time because we're short on time, so I'm going to skip something. But just get to it here. Prabhupada, of course, spent sometimes 8 months at a stretch in New Dwarka Dham, so long that the devotees thought that he would never leave New Dwarka. And when he left, of course, you can imagine the suffering we all experienced at that time, because he'd given us so much of his darshans during that period. Although, we didn't see that much of him during the day. Just in the morning, we would see him. And sometimes those who were lucky enough, they would be able to go on the morning walks with him. And then he'd come back to the temple to offer obeisances and the greeting of the deities and to give lecture. But the rest of the day he would be translating or taking care of other business and be quite sequestered in his world headquarters in New Dwarka Dham. Here's a story that hardly anybody knows. We talk about giving to the spiritual master, especially giving dakshin to the spiritual master. Well, you may be surprised that in actual fact, sometimes it works in reverse. This one devotee, Nanda Kishore, he had a child, a newly born child, and he came in to tell Srila Prabhupada that his wife had given birth. And he was a full-time devotee, preaching, serving, and being also Prabhupada's secretary. So Prabhupada said to him, he said, bring me my right bag, and he pointed to the counter. And so he brought his right, and Prabhupada took out of that right bag a $50 bill, US dollars, and he gave it. Said, take. And of course the devotee said, no, I can't take this. I can't take this from you. You're my, you know, I can't take this from you, Prabhupada. He says, no, it's not for you. It's for your son, your new son, you can take. Just imagine, you can only imagine how intimate is an exchange like that between the guru and the disciple. But the guru wants to, he knows that this person has given everything to spread this movement in those early days. And so he simply wants to be of some help to his service. This is our Gurudev. This is Srila Prabhupada. He's like a jewel which has so many facets. You'll never comprehend how many ways he reflects the devotional love of his devotees and reciprocates. That's our Srila Prabhupada. And there was another incident that I think is very important in New Dwarka that gives us a great lesson, and that is that Prabhupada gave a formula for how to chant your rounds. He said, you can chant your rounds like I chanted my rounds when I was a householder. I simply chant four rounds before each meal. If you chant four rounds before each meal already, there's 12 rounds done. So, and then 12 rounds before taking rest. So there's 16 rounds. And what that indicated to me, that story indicated to me, was, it's interesting because we talk about how Prabhupada asked the devotees to chant 64 rounds and then 32 rounds and then finally 16 rounds but no less. He finally said, okay, that's it, I'm not going any lower, because the devotees were objecting in 1966 at that time that there was just too much chanting, we can't do all that chanting. But here actually Prabhupada's indicating that actually he chanted 16 rounds and he was a householder, which I thought was really informative, because I never quite figured that out. Was he chanting 16, 32, 64 when he was a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta? But from here anyway, we can see he was chanting 16. He was noticing that one of his servants there was nodding out, as we often do. And Prabhupada had a solution. He said, when I'm tired, I walk and chant. He said, in this room, I can walk back and forth very nicely and finish my rounds even if I'm tired. So he gave a solution that if you're tired, get up and walk. Which, for myself, has been a great, great savior all these years, because it's very hard for me just to sit in one place for long periods of time. And the idea of walking and chanting, this has been a saving grace from his divine grace all these years. And one time the devotees asked Prabhupada in the Dwarka, said, Prabhupada, there's so many rules and regulations to follow. You know, what should we do? We don't feel like we're following all these different rules. Prabhupada said, don't concern yourself with all the rules. Just chant your 16 rounds and follow the principles. So when it comes to the simplicity of following the precepts of how to advance, the details are not so important, because by chanting those rounds, everything else falls into place. When anyone would have trouble and come to Prabhupada, marital troubles, even health problems, most often Prabhupada would say, simply chant Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna. All your problems will be solved. And this was Prabhupada's way of dealing with so many of these complex situations that arise. If we just start praying to Krishna. So, you know, it's for me as a person who from 71 has tried to imbibe Prabhupada's mood and instructions, it's really keeping it as simple as possible. I was just discussing before we began talking with Vishakha Devi about the rule of crossing one's legs in front of the deities. I said, if I have my feet like this, or if I'm like this, what's the rule? So she said, well, you know, that's in the Nectar of Devotion. So we just looked it up. And we started looking at all the rules in the Nectar of Devotion. And by the way, you're not supposed to hold your knees crossed in front of the deities. But you can cross your legs in front of the deities. But you're not supposed to spread your legs in front of the deities. So many different things. So these instructions are there. So we were, as I was reading through this list in the NOD, one of them was, do not speak with others while in front of the deities. You know, we're talking. You know, we're talking now. We're talking with each other. So many rules and regulations are there. But ultimately, Prabhupada's given us really a very simple outline of what to do, because everything will blossom. We will naturally find ourselves in compliance if we simply follow the four regulative principles and chant 16 rounds a day. And I have more to share, but there's not enough time for all of us, so I will gladly pass the microphone to my esteemed godbrother, and he can share his.
Thank you, Natsinganda Prabhu. Thank you very much for enlightening us on the Los Angeles pastimes and the tips you have provided for helping us in chanting our rounds. Yeah. I now request His Grace Gopaswami Prabhu to speak a few words.
Hare Krishna. Jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. I like normal persons. You understand when I speak? Okay, I like normal things and normal persons. And of course, when we speak of Srila Prabhupada, he is not, extra normal, he is extraordinary. But one aspect of his personality as an extraordinary person is that I could perceive him also as a normal person. That's what I can appreciate. One of the things I could appreciate. He was, extraordinary person, and in this frame of being extraordinary, something was included. He was also a normal person that I could appreciate and I like. My remembrance of Srila Prabhupada was he would be very genuine. That's a good word. Genuine, very natural, genuine, no fake, no show, not at all. Very natural, simple, normal. So we could relate to him. It's not so easy to relate to him. Being a Westerner, what to speak of, French, I was from France, so a French boy, never heard about, Krishna or India or anything like that. And you have, this person coming to us, bringing us a completely different way of life, culture, philosophy, relationship with God as Krishna. That was completely extraordinary. But Srila Prabhupada made it normal by his personality. Very convincing. Of course, there was something behind his spiritual strength. But that's what one thing I wanted to say. In France, he was he bought actually himself a very big estate in France. It's called now New Mayapur, and it's very beautiful, and it's a big castle, and deities, Srila Prabhupada installed Krishna and Balaram there. So, but and when he was there, he was very naturally happy. He was, the weather was nice. He was walking around with the devotees, and everybody felt completely at ease. We should not have felt at ease. I mean, our life was completely changing. We are following one course of life, and all of a sudden, with Sri Prabhupada's coming, our whole life was completely changing. So, one part of us were feeling very much perturbed, not easy. But the main thing was very strongly we felt at ease. This was the real thing, genuine, very confident, very beautiful, very beautiful. And Sri Prabhupada was in personification of this confidence, very normal, very... No, don't worry, it's not something... Krishna consciousness is not something strange or for some people only. No. So we have to... We are like, part of his family. And when you are part of a family, you feel very... normal, at ease, comfortable. So we can all thank Sri Prabhupada to make us feel not only devotees of Krishna, but part of his own family. So that's very easy to be Prabhupada's member, family member, in this sense. One thing, just before I came, I asked one devotee who was here in 74. His name is Ashesha. I just asked him if he had anything to say for this festival, because I thought, we may speak. So he was here in 74 during the winter with his father. He was like 10 or 11 years old, and he was here in Juhu Beach. This temple, and he told me mainly that Sri Prabhupada, he clearly felt and remember that Sri Prabhupada was very fond and concerned by the children. That he was, of course, like unknown, not so much unknown, because Prabhupada little thing, he would call him Mr. West. He was a small boy, 11 years old, Mr. West. And there was a Bengali boy, and this one was Mr. East. So there was Mr. West and Mr. East. So he would call, where is Mr. West? And like that. He was always concerned, Sometimes he was like a little coughing, come here, what's wrong, this and that. And on the beach, he was walking and behind Sri Prabhupada, and Prabhupada stopped and turned around, and who is Krishna? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada is genuinely very, very happy, Sri Prabhupada, of having this boy. And then he spoke about it a few times after. He said, you see, even a boy, a small boy like that, coming from the West, he's in this Krishna consciousness movement. He has this education, this knowledge. He knows Krishna. Like Maharaj says this morning, we have to know Krishna in truth. Prabhupada in truth, so he knows Krishna. And so Ashesha Prabhu, like that. And Prabhupada told me, yes, Prabhupada was very concerned with the children. And this Prabhu, he always remained very, Ashesha is very concerned with all the children now, always. He's like the hero for the French children, and he's 40 or 50 years old now, and all the children from, 10 to 45 now, grown up, they always look at him. So, Ashesha Prabhu, yeah. Of course, Prabhupada was not very normal in the sense that it is not normal at his age, as we always say, to go away like that, as he did to the West. Now we are, you know, you see, we are all getting older and feeling a little more what it means. Over 60 years old, you don't travel. People retired, they like to travel, not too many times. A few, after working, after many years of working, oh, now I'm going to travel. So, but when they do it a little, and they do it, it's organized. You know, someone is taking care of organizing everything, and you go, and you come back, and there, you know, where, you know, someone brings you to this hotel, or... But it's not easy to... Like, when I come here to India, for me, it's not so easy. It's not an organized thing, like my... the people I know, they do this organized traveling. But when I come here, it's not organized, although, you know, very nicely received here, but still, you know, taking the plane and where to go, how to behave, it's a little complicated. So I appreciate, you know, personally a little more, how Prabhupada, you know, went out to the West like that, nothing organized, nobody to go with him or nobody to receive him, and well, everything was against him, very odd. Just one thing, complete faith in the holy name, complete faith in the order of his spiritual master. So that's an inspiration, you know, not new, but it's real. Last thing I can go amongst. Like I said at the beginning, you know, being normal, so that's one appreciation I can have for His Divine Grace, that He made me feel, you know, gradually. I started very, I was very convinced immediately that, you know, I had to be a devotee of Krishna, I had to follow Him immediately. But it was so far away from my real, normal life and personality. So, you know, it was very, you know, will I make it, you know? And there was no doubt, but on the other side, how can I? And by His mercy and following His instructions, I feel now, somehow or other, I can say, I feel I'm a normal devotee of Krishna. This is far out for me. I became a normal devotee of Krishna, and very happy. I can say also, very happy one. You know, you become just a normal devotee. You become very happy. You know, more and more. This is far out. I was convinced, but that I have realized now. It's very nice, and. But one little request, because Sri Prabhupada trained us not to be really normal, but to be extraordinary. So I feel sometimes that I've come up to the point of, you know, that was my allotted destiny, and that's all what I could do, you know, reach this point of, okay, I made it up to now, I'm still devotee, I feel, you know, like normal devotee, that's far out, I'm happy. But I know we're not supposed to stay at this point, even if we feel that, you know, I reach it, you know, it's, I cannot go further than that. Still, you know, the mark of Srila Prabhupada is printed on us, and we have to do something practical as preaching, as preachers. So I feel completely unqualified, helpless, and... But if he wants to push me, then I would be happy, of course, to go beyond my abilities. Anything is possible. So, Hare Krishna.
Jai.
Shri Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you, Prabhu Swami Prabhuji, for telling us some aspects of Srila Prabhupada, how he was extraordinarily normal and made others also so, and also for his concern for children. Thank you very much. I now request Vishakha Mataji to speak a few words. Many of you have been knowing that Vishakha Mataji spent a good part of her devotional life in Bombay during the early years when Sri Sri Radha Raspari was in the small shed. So there's quite a few things to say. In fact, the evening session we are almost entirely dedicating to Vishakha Mataji and the Prabhupada quarters. But we still request you to speak a few words now.
First I've heard of it.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Paskya Tade Shatanane. Okay. Thank you so much for inviting me to speak, and thank you for welcoming me to this magnificent temple, Sri Sri Radha Rasabihariji Temple. So, before I became a devotee, I majored in college in photography. And after I became a devotee, very quickly I was engaged in photographing His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As Krishna's caused this mercy on me, I became part of Prabhupada's traveling entourage in India first, and then also in America, when he traveled in America, and then in Europe as well. And when my husband, Yadavara Prabhu, started taking films of Srila Prabhupada, I became the sound person. At that time, the sound and the film were separate, so you had to have two people minimum. So it was an extraordinary opportunity for me to be with Prabhupada repeatedly, and to see him firsthand throughout the day and hear from him. And of all the places I was with Srila Prabhupada, I spent the most time with him here in Bombay and Juhu. I first met Srila Prabhupada in March of 1971 in the Akashganga building on the 7th floor. And at that time I had no interest in spiritual life. And Prabhupada did not preach to me. He was very gentlemanly. And by his instruction, somehow or other, despite all odds, I became a devotee, more or less, aspiring devotee at least. And then we came to Bombay, and in fact we came to Juhu, my husband and I. And as we know, Srila Prabhupada spent weeks together here because it was such a difficult project to get together legally. At that time, where we are now was a jungle, and the locals used to deposit their trash in that jungle. And we lived in the back in tenant houses. Prabhupada had one disciple, Dinatarne, who had a inheritance, and she spent some of that inheritance to buy a flat for Srila Prabhupada, so he lived there. And in the afternoons he would go to the rooftop, the flat roof, for darshans. And in the mornings, every morning, he went to Juhu Beach for a long walk, an hour-long walk. And I don't think I missed a single walk. I was there every day photographing. And that was extraordinary. It was something we could talk about for a long, long time. But there was one person who joined us very early in those walks with his friends. That was Dr. Patel. Just out of curiosity, how many of you have heard of Dr. Patel? Not so many. Maybe a quarter. Dr. Patel was raised an Orthodox Vaishnav. He described that from a very young age he would get up at 4 in the morning, he would pray to Lord Krishna, he would read Bhagavad Gita, he would worship Tulsi Devi. He did this his whole life, practically. When he met Srila Prabhupada, he was a little bit younger than Prabhupada, and he came with 4 or 5 friends, all of whom were also Vaishnavas. And it turned out, amazingly enough, that although Dr. Patel had studied the Bhagavad Gita for at least 50 years, Prabhupada's disciples, young disciples from the West, who had been with him for perhaps 3 years, understood the Bhagavad Gita better than Dr. Patel. Because Dr. Patel did not have a bona fide spiritual master to explain the Bhagavad Gita to him. So in fact, he was quite confused about Krishna's statements in the Gita. And on these morning walks, every day would be another discussion, and because Dr. Patel was trained in Western education, instead of listening submissively, he would argue vehemently with Srila Prabhupada, to the point where those of us with Prabhupada would become very disturbed, because we never related to Prabhupada in that way. Prabhupada trained us to hear submissively. And Dr. Patel, on the contrary, would always be arguing. And he knew so many shlokas from the Bhagavad Gita that they would sometimes just toss shlokas back and forth, and Prabhupada would repeatedly correct him. "You're not understanding it properly." He was tinged with Mayavad understanding. So every day was very exciting from that point of view. Sometimes it was funny. One morning, it was the day after Ram Navami, and Dr. Patel had become intrigued by the project here, the Juhu project, and he had actually helped serve prasadam to the devotees, the Ram Navami feast prasadam. So the next morning he met us to go on the walk on the beach, and he said to Srila Prabhupada, "You know, I served your devotees yesterday, and they don't understand how to eat our Vaishnav prasad. They were mixing the kheer with the chutney." And Prabhupada said, "They are Paramahamsa. They do not make these distinctions." So that way he defended us, although when he spoke to us, he would try to teach us the proper way to do various things. But with Dr. Patel, he was very defensive. And on another occasion, one of the more remarkable occasions, although they were all really remarkable, but Dr. Patel, as a lifelong vegetarian, was speaking very strongly against meat eaters, very strongly. And Prabhupada said, "No, if you accept the Vedas, you must accept that there's a part in the Vedas also for meat eaters, that on the dark moon night, they can take an insignificant animal like a goat, and they can say into the goat's ear, 'Now I am killing you, but in another birth you will have a form of life in which you can kill me,' and in that way they can slaughter the goat and eat the meat." And he said, "This is also part of the Vedas. Even meat eaters are included so that they can gradually make spiritual advancement." And we were also struck by this, Prabhupada's inclusiveness and his broadness of heart and mind. And another point that I really picked up on is that although the talks were fiery, and although Prabhupada used very strong, uncompromising language, he would call Dr. Patel a mudha, a fool and a rascal and less intelligent. And Dr. Patel had gotten his doctorate from a very prestigious university, so he was not used to be called these various titles. But he would laugh. Dr. Patel would laugh. And the result was that later on, Dr. Patel said, "Those morning walks were the most precious moments of my life." So yes, Prabhupada used strong, uncompromising language, but it's not that he offended this individual. Rather, he attracted him. So we can see by the result that it was glorious. So I don't want to take up more time than I'm supposed to. Thank you so much for your attention. All glories to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Vishakha Mataji, for enlightening us on Srila Prabhupada's our thanks with Dr. Patel, the lessons that we got out of this pastime. Now, His Holiness Bhakti Vikas.
I'm just going to say that I thank Yadubha Prabhu by email, and many other devotees have thanked, and future generations will also thank Yadubha Prabhu and Vishakha Mataji, especially for their compilation Following Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. Which is, if you don't have it, please get it. I carry it with me where I go and ask people to buy it, because it's, if you didn't see Srila Prabhupada personally, you can be with him from 1965 through to 1977 with this very touching contribution, which definitely the spiritual energy worked through you to do that, to collect all that, to restore it and put it together. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Now I request His Grace Radha Madhav Prabhu to speak a few words.
Hare Krishna. Well, sometimes the impossible can actually happen. So I've been asked to say a few words. Usually people say, I'm so long-winded, why didn't he stop talking? But we'll try this morning to have that miracle come true, and I'll just say, as I'm requested, a very few words. The few words that I think are so essential, most important, highest priority, and of all the teachings of Prabhupada, as we know, Prabhupada wrote so many books and translations, the Bhagavad Gita, the commentaries, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the smaller books as well. But if we took out of all of those the most essential teaching and put it into a nutshell, it's so profoundly simple, because spiritual life can be profoundly simple. What are those few teachings? One, always chant the holy name. Yes, we can chant on our beads and chant out loud, but even when we're performing another activity, we can chant within the mind, within the heart. And we'll find in the beginning it's quite of a chore. Well, I already did my 16 rounds. You know, I finished, that's all. Prabhupada did not say just chant 16 rounds. He wanted his devotees to always chant the holy name. But he set as a minimum for his disciples 16 rounds. But if we go deeper into his teaching, we can have as our goal to always chant the holy name. And we find that once we get into actually doing it, it's not a chore anymore. It's not, oh, I don't want to chant anymore, I got other things I'd rather do like that. We find that slowly, there is a nectar to the chanting. And we start to understand why we're teaching that Krishna and His name are non-different. And there'll be a moment when we'll have a taste of bliss, actual joy, like we've never experienced in our life. And we'll say, am I imagining something? What's going on here? But we keep on chanting, and the bliss comes more and more. And there comes a point when we have to pray to Krishna, please take back some of this bliss, I can't hold it all. It becomes overwhelming or overpowerful. But Prabhupada wanted us to always chant the holy name. So that's one of the single most important teachings and practices of spiritual life. Profoundly simple. And second is to serve the Vaishnavas. That is such a wonderful thing. Again, it seems like a chore. Oh, what I got to take care of that guy for? I got better things to do with my time. What about me? But we'll find when we actually do it, when we do service, perform service to the Vaishnavas, it becomes a source of very great joy. spiritual life is not a terrible chore and burden. When we get ultimately to the ultimate goal of it, it becomes overpoweringly blissful. So, always chant the holy name, serve the Vaishnavas, and very, very, very important, so important to keep in mind, and that is, I don't want to compete with that bell. So always chant the holy name, serve the Vaishnavas, and the third and so essential thing is to avoid Vaishnava aparad, avoid offending the Vaishnavas at any expense, any possibility of offending a Vaishnava, try to avoid it very dutifully, very conscientiously. Because the consequences of Vaishnava aparad can be so overpowering. The scriptures teach that even if we are up to the level of Lord Shiva, a very great soul, if we're on the level of Lord Shiva and commit Vaishnava aparad, we think, oh, well, I've done so much good, I've done so much service, it'll balance out, you know, what difference does it make? No, that's not so. If we commit Vaishnava aparad, we can fall down, all the way down, and lose our whole spiritual activities, at least for one lifetime. So, just to summarize, try and keep it short, because we can go all the depth to the highest levels of spirituality with such simple things. Always chant the holy name, serve the Vaishnavas, and avoid Vaishnava aparad. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Radha Madhav Prabhu, for emphasizing Srila Prabhupada's instructions on chanting the holy name, serving the Vaishnavas, and avoiding Vaishnava aparad. Thank you. I now request Janardhan Prabhu to speak a few words.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Srila Prabhupada Ji Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ji Ki. Aaj Prabhupada Ji ka tirobhav. मैं समझता हूँ कि वो तिरोभाव जो आप शब्द है वो बाकी वो ही इज हियर ही इज एवरीवेयर प्रभुपाद इज हियर एवरीवेयर कोने कोने में प्रभुपाद जी है और प्रभुपाद जी का गंज कोने कोने में है विश्व गुरु है प्रभुपाद जी विश्व गुरु और आज विश्व गुरु जो है इस्कॉन जो चल रहा है उनके आशीर्वाद से चल रहा है उनके आशीर्वाद से सारे मंदिर चल रहे हैं और उनके आशीर्वाद से आज मैं मेरा उम्र 86 वर्ष का 86 मैं खड़ा हूँ उनके आशीर्वाद से खड़ा हूँ वो जो नहीं मिलते तो आज क्या मालूम आज एक काया का क्या हो जाता था मुझे कोई पता नहीं था बाकी उनका आशीर्वाद इतना बड़ा आशीर्वाद हुआ मेरे पर कि आप पूछिए मत प्रभु माने प्रभुपाद जी गुरु मेरे घर में पधार गए पूर्व जन्म के अंदर कोई अच्छा मैंने काम किया होगा तब प्रभुपाद जी मिल गए तो मैं ये कह रहा हूं कि आज जो दिन है और मैराथन चल रहा है काफी मैराथन चल रहा है और प्रभुपाद जी को गीता का विश्रम जो है बहुत ज्यादा करो तो प्रभुपाद जी माने बड़े खुश रहते हैं बड़े बड़े आनंद में रहते हैं तो मेरा बात ये मैराथन चल रहा है तो ये सब लोग जो है दस दस गीता भी करोगे तो प्रभुपाद जी आपके ऊपर खुश हो जाएंगे आपको आशीर्वाद देंगे और ये मैराथन के अंदर आपको सबको गीता करना है और मैंने सोचा है इस वक्त कि हमारे तरफ से मेरे पार्टनर जो हैं बीमा प्रभु हैं और इस वक्त हमने सुलोचन भी ले लिया है, इसलिए हम तीनों मिलकर ऐसा कर रहे हैं कि हम लोग कह रहे हैं कि 25 से 30 हजार गीता हम कैसे भी करके करेंगे और प्रभुपाद जी को खुश करेंगे। प्रभुपाद जी का आशीर्वाद और मिलेगा और मुझे डिवोशनल सर्विस का समय मिलेगा और जब तक मेरा जो शरीर है तब तक मैं भगवान का डिवोशनल सर्विस करूंगा। और इस्कॉन ही है, इस्कॉन के सिवा मेरा कुछ नहीं है। प्रभुपाद जी का हृदय जो है वो इस्कॉन है, धड़कता है, कभी बंद नहीं पड़ने वाला है। प्रभुपाद जी का हृदय कभी बंद नहीं पड़ेगा और इस्कॉन को आशीर्वाद देते रहेंगे। और बस मैं समय बहुत माने कम है, इसलिए दूसरे श्रोताओं को भी कुछ चांस देना चाहिए। तो हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे, श्री प्रभुपाद जी की हरे कृष्ण।
थैंक यू जनार्दन प्रभु जी फॉर शोइंग अस द ओमनीप्रेजेंस ऑफ श्रील प्रभुपाद एंड हाउ वी मस्ट डेडिकेट दिस थिरुभाव डे बाय डिस्ट्रीब्यूटिंग हिज बुक्स and encouraging others also to distribute his books. I now request Brijmohan Shettyji to speak a few words. As you all know, Brijmohan Shettyji is the son of the illustrious P.L. Shettyji, who was one of Prabhupada's close associates, who helped us build this temple here in Mumbai.
हरे कृष्ण। श्रीला प्रभुपाद की कम आवाज आई है। बंबई के इस्कॉन में नहीं, सारे विश्व भर के इस्कॉन के सेंटर में ये आवाज गूंजनी चाहिए। इतनी जोर से आपको ये जयकारा लगाना है, श्रीला प्रभुपाद की। आज हमारे बीच आज प्रभुपाद जी का डिसअपीयरेंस डे मनाने के लिए विशाखा माता जी यहां मौजूद हैं। हम बहुत ही भाग्यशाली हैं कि जो प्रभुपाद जी के पुराने डिसाइपल्स हैं वो आज हमारे बीच में हैं। शायद आप सब नए हैं, आपको पता नहीं कि इस मंदिर को बनाने के लिए इन लोगों ने कितना सैक्रिफाइस किया है, ये आप लोग नहीं जानते। हमने देखा है, अपनी आंखों से देखा है। यहां पर क्योंकि विशाखा माता जी मौजूद हैं, इसलिए मैं पुरानी थोड़ी सी बात आप लोगों के बीच में ये कहना चाहता हूं कि ये मंदिर कैसा था, किस तरीके से इसकी शुरुआत हुई और कैसे आज यहां ये विशाल मंदिर खड़ा है। इसके पीछे इन पुराने डिवोटियों की सेक्रीफाइस है, ये पुराने डिसाइपल्स हैं प्रभुपाद जी के, ये हमारे लिए बहुत पूजनीय हैं। क्योंकि अगर आज इनका सेक्रीफाइस ना होता तो शायद, और प्रभुपाद जी की कृपा ना होती तो शायद ये विशाल मंदिर आज सब हम और आप यहां ना होते। मैं तो कुछ भी कहना नहीं जानता यहां पर, मैं तो सिर्फ एक कुछ कहने का प्रयास कर रहा हूं। ये हक तो सिर्फ मेरे पिताश्री का था, जिनका इतना स्नेह इतना प्यार था प्रभुपाद जी के प्रति कि प्रभुपाद जी का नाम लेते ही उनके आंखों में अश्रु धारा बहने लगती थी, इतना प्यार था उनका। लेकिन मैं आपको थोड़ा सा संक्षेप में बताना चाहूंगा किस तरीके से यहां पर छोटा सा मंदिर था, किस तरीके से उसको डिमोलिश किया गया और कैसे आज हम और आप इस मंदिर में बैठे हैं। एक छोटा सा मंदिर था यहां पर और ये जो डिवोटी जितने थे यहां पर उस समय चटाई हट्स में रहते थे, चटाई के झोपड़े बने हुए थे और उनमें वो रहते थे। ये जंगल था, इनका बिल्कुल कहना सही है विशाखा माता जी का कि यहां पर एक जंगल था, लेकिन प्रभुपाद जी ने कहा जंगल में मंगल बनाना है। और ऐसा आलिशान उनकी दूरदृष्टि इतनी थी कि उन्होंने सोच लिया था कि यहां पर ऐसा मंदिर विशाल बने, लाखों करोड़ों आदमी आए और यहां पर दर्शन करें और अपने आप को शुद्ध भक्त बनाएं। तुम चटाई हट में जब डिवोटी रहते थे तो आप यकीन करोगे रात को ये मोटे मोटे चूहे, ये मोटे मोटे चूहे उस चटाई हट में जाके उस चटाई के झोपड़ों में जाके उनके पैर खा जाते थे। कभी पैर खा जाते तो कभी किसी के मुंह पे चूहे वार करते थे। सवेरे उठते तो लौ लवान हुए होते थे, सारा खून बह रहा होता था और डॉक्टर के पास। इतना सब सहने के बाद भी वो यहां से गए नहीं, क्योंकि प्रभुपाद जी की उन पर कृपा थी। और जिस पर भी प्रभुपाद जी की कृपा हो गई है वो धन्य हो गया है, और जिसने ये इस्कॉन ज्वाइन कर लिया है वो भी धन्य हो गया है, क्योंकि बिना कृपा के आप इस मंदिर में आ ही नहीं सकते। तो ये मंदिर यहां के कॉरपोरेटर और कुछ यहां के पॉलिटिशियन मिलकर जब ये जगह देखी कि इतनी विशाल जगह है तो एक 5-स्टार होटल बनाने का उनका, तो उन्होंने बड़ी जी तोड़ कोशिश कर ली, यहां तक कि बीएमसी में कंप्लेन करके छोटा सा मंदिर शेड में बना हुआ उसको भी तोड़वा दिया। यहां तक कि जब मंदिर टूट रहा था और मैं आज भी उस माता जी को याद करता हूं, मैथिली माता जी, जब वो मूर्ति को, यानी मूर्ति नहीं कहता मैं, साक्षात ठाकुर जी को, साक्षात भगवान को, साक्षात राधा रास बिहारी जी को उठाने जब पुलिस के लोग आगे बढ़े तो मैथिली माता जी फट चरणों में गिर पड़ी और उन्होंने पुलिस वालों को ठाकुर जी को हटाने नहीं दिया। हालांकि पुलिस वालों ने माता जी को बालों से खींचा, इतनी जोर से खींचा, लेकिन वो टस से मस नहीं हुई। तो ऐसी थी मतलब है भक्ति उस समय की। हम यही आप लोगों से भी चाहते हैं कि ऐसी भक्ति करो कि अपना शरीर भी निछावर करना पड़े भगवान के लिए, तो हमको तात्पर्य तैयार रहना चाहिए। तो ये एक छोटा सा था, जब वो मंदिर टूट गया तो पिताजी के साथ हमारी माता जी यहां बैठी हुई हैं, हम लोग ऐसे ही फैमिली के साथ जू बीच पिकनिक मनाने आए थे। उस समय हम गोरेगांव में रहते थे, तो हम पिताजी ने बोला चलो जरा मंदिर होते चलेंगे। यहां आए तो देखा तो नजारा ही दूसरा था, मंदिर टूटा हुआ, शेड बिखरा हुआ। उस समय श्रीधर स्वामी जी थे यहां पर, तो पिताजी ने देखा, बात की डिवोटियों से, महाराज जी से, तो एक निश्चय किया। इतना तो तय था कि दूसरे दिन वो कोर्ट में जाके इंजंक्शन ले आते, स्टे ले आते, तो शायद यह मंदिर बनाना हमारे लिए बहुत मुश्किल हो जाता। तो पिताजी ने कहा कि देखो, इससे पहले कि वो स्टे ले आए, हमको इस मंदिर को खड़ा करना है रातों रात, रातों रात ये शेड बनना चाहिए। तो मुझे कहा, क्योंकि यहां पे खतरा भी था, ये कॉरपोरेटर के कुछ गुंडे यहां पर अंदर आके, उनका पूरा प्लान था। तो मुझे कहा, बेटे एक काम करो, आप जाओ घर, रिवॉल्वर और बंदूक ले आओ मेरी जो घर में पड़ी है, और क्योंकि हमारा कंस्ट्रक्शन का काम था, बोले जो अपने वर्कर्स हैं साइट के ऊपर उनको भी ले आना। तो मैं गया गोरेगांव, वहां से पिताजी की बंदूक और रिवॉल्वर ले आया और उनको भी बुला लाया। रातों रात हमने कंस्ट्रक्शन का काम शुरू किया। इंद्र देवता की इतनी कृपा कि सारी रात बरसते रहे, सारी रात जोरों की बारिश होती रही और श्रीधर स्वामी जीप में बैठ के माला करते रहे। एक तरफ भक्ति का उपयोग, एक तरफ मानव शक्ति का उपयोग, ये दोनों जब मिल जाएं तो क्या नहीं हो सकता। रातों रात मंदिर खड़ा कर दिया और सवेरे उठकर वहां पर मंगल आरती, 4 बजे मंगल आरती की। ये तभी संभव हो सकता है, ये मत सोचिए कि उसमें कुछ हमारा योगदान था। योगदान तो प्रभुपाद जी का था, उनकी कृपा थी, उनका पीछे से हाथ था, उनकी पावर आ रही थी, तभी ये मंदिर बन सका। तो मैं बता रहा हूं रिवॉल्वर और बंदूक की। तो जब हम कंस्ट्रक्शन कर रहे थे तो कुछ गुंडे अंदर आ गए और उन्होंने कोशिश की। तो पिताजी ने कहा, कितने लोग हो आप लोग? ये 15-20 से कुछ नहीं आना, मेरे पास 150-200 कारतूस है, कम से कम 150 को तो मार के मरूंगा, 150 आदमी तो आगे आओ, बंदूक मेरे हाथ में दे दी, रिवॉल्वर अपने हाथ में रखी। लेकिन ऐसी कृपा हो कि मंदिर तैयार हो गया, शेड तैयार हो गया, सुबेरे की मंगल आरती वहां हुई। दूसरे दिन या 2-4 दिन बाद की बात है, जब कोर्ट में गए तो मेरे ख्याल से जस्टिस मैन थे वो, किसी जमाने में पिताजी उनके पास गए थे, उस समय वो एडवोकेट थे। तो जस्टिस मैन ने स्टेटस को का जजमेंट पास कर दिया, जो बन चुका है वैसे ही रहेगा, इसको तोड़ा ना जाए। तो ये सब लोगों ने, यहां पर डिवोटियों ने बहुत सेक्रीफाइस की है, तो इसको आप लोग समझो। ये जहां पर आप देख रहे हैं, आज तो बड़ा आसान हो गया, लोग आते हैं, कितनी सहूलियत हो गई है, लेकिन हर सहूलियत के पीछे किसी न किसी का सेक्रीफाइस होता है। तो आज जब इनको, विशाखा माता जी को यहां देखता हूं, तो मन अति प्रसन्न होता है कि आज भी वो इस संस्था से जुड़ी हुई हैं और अपना पूरा योगदान दे रही हैं इस संस्था को। मैं ज्यादा वक्त ना लेकर, शायद शाम को अगर समय मिले तो थोड़ा कुछ बोलूंगा, डिटेल में शाम को थोड़ा कुछ बताऊंगा आपको कि इस मंदिर के पीछे और भी बहुत सारी घटनाएं हैं जो आपको सुननी चाहिए और समझनी चाहिए। ये यहां पर बैठे हुए महेश्वरी जी, इन्होंने
बोलो अनदर 10 मिनट्स.
ओके, हमें टेंपल प्रेसिडेंट की तरफ से इजाजत मिल गई है तो हम थोड़ा कुछ और बोलेंगे. तो प्रभुपाद जी ने बहुत कुछ सिखाया है हमें. मैं आपको पिताजी की बीमारी के बारे में बताता हूं, किस तरीके से प्रभुपाद जी की कृपा हुई, कितने बीमार थे वो, किस तरीके से उन पर कृपा हुई. हमारे पिताजी इतने बीमार थे कि उनके हाथ पैर नहीं चलते थे. एक कप या एक गिलास पानी का भी वो अपने आप उठा नहीं सकते थे, इतने बीमार थे. और उस समय हम गोरेगांव रहते थे तो पिताजी को पता चला कि प्रभुपाद जी आए हुए हैं बॉम्बे, तो बोले मैंने तो प्रभुपाद जी के दर्शन करने हैं, मुझे ले चलो प्रभुपाद जी के पास. हमने कहा पिताजी कहां आप जा सकते हो, चार आदमी तो हम उठा के आपको बाथरूम तक लेके जाते हैं और डॉक्टरों की भी एडवाइस नहीं है कि आप, आपको रेस्ट की जरूरत है, आप रेस्ट करो. बोले नहीं, उनको यहां के सब डॉक्टरों को दिखा लिया था, बोला इनका इलाज कराना है तो आपको लंदन ले जाना होगा. यहां पे उस समय सर्जरी इतनी एडवांस नहीं थी, न्यूरो सर्जरी की मैं बात कर रहा हूं, तो उनका लंदन का टिकट बुक हो चुका था. तो उनकी जिद से हम उनको यहां पर ले आए. जून में मनमोहना जी के यहां पर वो प्रभुपाद जी वहां पर थे, हमको पता चला, हम वहां उनके घर के चले गए. तो हमने कोशिश की कि पिताजी को अंदर ले जाएं, प्रभुपाद जी से मिलवाएं, लेकिन हमें बताया गया कि प्रभुपाद जी आराम कर रहे हैं और फिर थोड़ी देर बाद वो वाल्केश्वर जाने वाले हैं, उनका अपॉइंटमेंट फिक्स है वाल्केश्वर का. खैर पिताजी ने बोला कोई बात नहीं, मैं बाहर से ही उनके दर्शन कर लूंगा. इतने में मनमोहना जी ने देखा, अरे सेठी जी आइए आइए आप अंदर आ जाइए. वो जैसे ही लॉबी में उनको बिठाया और लॉबी से जो लग के दरवाजा था जहां प्रभुपाद जी आराम कर रहे थे, एकदम दरवाजा खुला, प्रभुपाद जी बाहर आए, पिताजी को देखा, बोला सेठी जी आपकी ये हालत. उन्होंने तुरंत अपने गले की माला पिताजी के गले में डाल दी और बोले कहां आजकल ये आपको क्या हो गया. बोले ऐसे इस तरीके से तकलीफ है, ऐसे है ये. बोले कहां रहते हो. बोले गोरेगांव रहते हैं, यहां जू में मकान बनाया है लेकिन रहने आ नहीं सकते क्योंकि इस बीमारी की अवस्था में हम शिफ्ट नहीं कर पा रहे. प्रभुपाद जी ने अपना वाल्केश्वर का प्रोग्राम कैंसिल करके और जू पे घर पर आए, नया मकान, वहां पर तब तक कोई रहने नहीं गया हुआ था. तो प्रभुपाद जी अपने डिवोटियों के साथ वहां आए, बैठे, गीता के ऊपर उपदेश दिया. आज भी मेरे कानों में वो, मतलब है थोड़ा सा एक एग्जाम्पल जो दिया वो आज भी याद है मुझे. उन्होंने बताया कि जैसे एक आग है, आग की तरफ जब बच्चा जाता है तो मां उसे खींच कर अपनी तरफ घसीटती है और एक हल्का सा थप्पड़ लगा देती है, लेकिन उस थप्पड़ से बच्चे को दुख होता है कि मां ने मुझे मारा है, लेकिन किसकी भलाई के लिए. उस बच्चे की भलाई के लिए कि आग की तरफ जाएगा तो जल जाएगा। ठीक उसी तरीके से प्रभुपाद जी बताते हैं, ये कृष्ण ने तुम्हें थप्पड़ लगाया है, तुम माया के पीछे इतने वो हो गए थे कि उस परमपिता परमात्मा को तुमने बिल्कुल ही भूल गए थे, जिसने सब कुछ तुम्हें दिया है, तुम उसी को बुला दोगे तो ये भगवान का तुम्हें थप्पड़ लगा है और ये थप्पड़ तुम्हारी भलाई के लिए है। तो इतना कहकर प्रभुपाद जी ने कहा, सेठी जी ये क्या पट्टे पहने हुए आपने, गले पे पट्टा, कमर पे पट्टा है? तो हमने कहा, महाराज ये पट्टे डॉक्टर बोलते हैं नहीं उतारने, क्योंकि ये पट्टों से ही उनको प्रोटेक्शन मिल रहा है, और अगर ये पट्टे उतारे तो कोई भी ऐसा मूवमेंट हो जाए जिनकी वजह से इनकी मृत्यु भी हो सकती है ऑन द स्पॉट, क्योंकि यहां नेक रीजन में इस तरीके से नसें दब चुकी थी कि कोई भी ऑकवर्ड मूवमेंट से उनको कुछ भी हो सकता है, ऐसी पोजीशन थी। तो प्रभुपाद जी बोले, ये बात है, उतार दो ये पट्टे। अब माता जी यहां बैठी है, माता जी की आंखों में अश्रु धारा, हमारी आंखों में अश्रु धारा, ये स्वामी जी क्या कर रहे हैं? हमने कहा, स्वामी जी आप मेडिकल एडवाइस के अगेंस्ट जा रहे हैं, ये ठीक नहीं है। तो प्रभुपाद जी बोले, बेटे आप बैठ जाओ, उतारो सेठी जी ये पट्टे उतारो। गले का पट्टा उतार दिया, कमर का पट्टा उतार दिया। बोला, आपको कुछ हुआ क्या? जन्म मरण डॉक्टरों के हाथ में लिखा है, आज मैं देखता हूं आपकी मृत्यु कैसे होती है। काम चार आदमी इनको उठा के लाए थे, एकदम प्रभुपाद जी बोलते हैं, सेठी जी खड़े हो जाओ। मैंने कहा, महाराज आप क्या बात कर रहे हो, वो उठ नहीं सकते, हम चार आदमी आप देख रहे हैं उनको उठा के लाए हैं, आप बोल रहे हैं उनको उठ जाओ, तो हम मदद करने के लिए आगे बढ़े। बोले, बेटे बैठ जाओ, ये अपने आप उठेंगे। सेठी जी खड़े हो, बड़ा जोर लगा के पिताजी हमारे कांपते हुए खड़े हो गए। हम तो मानो ऐसे हो गए कि हमारे में जैसे खून ही नहीं रहा हो, क्योंकि सारा कुछ मेडिकल एडवाइस के अगेंस्ट हो रहा है। हमने कहा, कुछ भी हो सकता है अभी। बोला, चलो तो पांच कदम चले, बैठ जाओ। कुछ हुआ, आपकी मृत्यु हुई? यही मैं बताना चाहता हूं कि जन्म मृत्यु ऊपर वाले के हाथ में। उन्होंने कहा, आप चाहे लंदन जाओ या ना जाओ, आप सिर्फ एक काम करो, घर जाओ, हल्के हाथ से किसी भी मसाज वाले को बोलो कि ये गर्दन की मसाज कर दें। वो बोला, ये चैंट करो 16 माला, और मैं आपसे सिर्फ एक प्रॉमिस लेना चाहता हूं कि जब आप ठीक हो जाओ तो ये मंदिर की कंस्ट्रक्शन का काम आपने करना है। और प्रभुपाद जी ने एक अपने पास से मेडिसिन लिख के दी थी, जिसका नाम था योगेंद्र रस, और मुझे यह भी कहा गया कि कि ये पर्टिकुलर दुकान जो कालबा देवी में है वहीं से लाना, जिसका नाम था साधना औषधालय। तो मैं वहां से वो दवाई लेके आया, उनको देनी चालू की, घर पहुंचे, मसाज वाला मिल गया, सब कुछ हो गया। पिताजी ने अपना लंदन का प्रोग्राम कैंसिल कर दिया और मेरे ख्याल से 10-15 दिन के अंदर पिताजी चलने लगे। ये कब संभव हो सकता है? जब ऐसे गुरु की कृपा हो, ये तभी संभव हो सकता है। हमारे पिताजी तो कहते थे कि मेरे लिए तो गुरुजी ही सब कुछ है, यही कृष्ण है मेरे लिए, यही राधा है मेरे लिए, यही सब कुछ है मेरे लिए। प्रभुपाद जी के लिए तो वो कुछ भी करने को तैयार होते थे। और ज्यादा मैं नहीं बताना चाहूंगा, क्योंकि इसमें आगे भी है कि अपनी जो उन्होंने समाप्ति की, अपना शरीर जब त्यागा, किस तरीके से वो इस संसार से गए, कि जब वो अभी आखिर में अभी बीमार पड़े थे तो एक रात सबको बुलाते हैं, हमको सबको आशीर्वाद देते हैं, बोलते हैं मेरा सामान पैक कर दो, मेरा सामान पैक कर दो, देखो मुझे प्रभुपाद जी लेने आए हैं। और वाकई मैं कहता हूं, हमने जब उनके आगे प्रभुपाद जी की छवि रख दी, फिर वो अचेत हो गए, उनको सुध-बुध नहीं रही, फिर एम्बुलेंस में किस तरीके से हम मंदिर में लेके आए, किस तरीके से मंदिर के अंदर आते ही एकदम उठ गए, साक्षात प्रभुपाद जी का दर्शन किया, यहां राधाराज बिहारी जी का दर्शन किया, बाहर निकले फिर अचेत अवस्था में हो गए। बस उसके 24 घंटे बाद उन्होंने अपना प्राण त्याग दिया। तो प्रभुपाद जी की बड़ी कृपा रही है पिताजी पर, हमारे पूरे परिवार पर। भले वो आज हमारे प्रभुपाद जी हमारे बीच में नहीं है, लेकिन ये हर एक डिवोटी में हमको प्रभुपाद जी नजर आते हैं, क्योंकि ये डिवोटी सब उनके बताए हुए रास्ते पे चल रहे हैं, और जो उनके बताए हुए रास्ते पे चलते हैं वो हमारे लिए पूजनीय है। इतना ही कहता हूं मैं आप सबसे। श्रीला प्रभुपाद की, श्रीला प्रभुपाद की। हरे कृष्ण।
थैंक यू ब्रिजभवन सिटी जी फॉर रिकॉलिंग श्रीला प्रभुपाद पास टाइम विद हिज डियर फादर पीएल सिटी जी, द कंस्ट्रक्शन ऑफ द टेम्पल एंड द मिराकुलस क्योर ऑफ हिज हेल्थ सिचुएशन एंड लेटर ऑन हिज पासिंग अवे पास टाइम। थैंक यू। I now request Mahaprabhu Prabhuji to speak a few words. Mahaprabhuji also is an old fighter of Radharas Bihariji. We are happy that he is here with us.
Hare Krishna. Up till now you have heard all Srila Prabhupada, people who have met Srila Prabhupada. I am the first person, I think, I have not met Prabhupada, but I have read Srila Prabhupada books. I would like to tell you something. You want me to speak in Hindi or English?
Whatever.
Hindi. But senior people are sitting here. I would like to mention something, thoda sa Hindi mein, thoda sa English mein. Compromise khichdi. So, see, Vishakha Mataji has said something very, very important, which we have to understand, that though Dr. Patel, he was coming temple regularly, meeting Srila Prabhupada regularly, he has read Bhagavad Gita 50 times, but he has not understood Bhagavad Gita.
क्यों, व्हाट वाज द रीजन, क्यों नहीं गीता को समझा, क्योंकि उन्होंने किसी गुरु को स्वीकार नहीं किया था। हम जिंदगी भर तक मंदिर में जाते रहेंगे, पूजा करते रहेंगे, कथाएं सुनते रहेंगे, लेक्चर सुनते रहेंगे, लेकिन हम कभी भगवान की भक्ति में नहीं आ सकते हैं जब तक कि हम किसी शुद्ध भक्त की आप शरण में नहीं लेंगे। जिन लोगों ने शुद्ध भक्त की शरण नहीं ली है वो जिंदगी भर तक कुछ भी करते रहेंगे, कभी भगवान की भक्ति में नहीं आएंगे। दिस इज द लेसन वी हैव टू लर्न फ्रॉम द प्रीचिंग्स व्हाट सी हैज गिवन, वेरी सिंपल एग्जाम्पल। We have to understand what our Gopi Narada, Madhav Prabhu has said something very important. The three very important things in our life, if we want to make a spiritual progress, he has said we have to chant and chant the holy name of Lord. We have to serve devotee, and we should not do any apradh. हमको अपराध नहीं करना चाहिए, devotee की सेवा करना चाहिए और भगवान के नाम का जाप करना चाहिए। But मैं थोड़ा इसमें और थोड़ा एलोबरेट करना चाहूंगा। नाम करने में एक तो होता है माइंड से, यू कैन चेंट, आई हैव टू चेंट माय राइन 16 राउंड, हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण, और एक हार्ट से, वी हैव टू चेंट माय हार्ट। व्हेन यू चेंट माय हार्ट दैट विल चेंज योर लाइफ। इफ यू कैन चेंट योर राउंड from your heart, you will not commit even 10 apradh. 10 apradh हम क्यों commit करते हैं, क्यों करते हैं, क्योंकि हम mechanically, हम we are making ourselves like that Hindu religion. What is? I go to temple, I chant my round, and without that I don't eat food. I go to temple every Friday or this. No. That is again we are becoming ritual, not spiritual. Spiritual means bhakti. Bhakti means bhavana. In bhavana ke saath humko jaap karna chahiye. Teesre point aapko kehna chahunga, hamare desh mein people have considered karma, karma, we must do our karma, we must do our duty. But people, and they quote Bhagavad Gita. Oh, Bhagavad Gita is teaching us we must do karma. There is no karma in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad kehte teaching us bhakti. Uno karma mimansa philosophy, o karma ke isi karma wo log karte hain, karma karke thoda sa phal bhagwan ko de diya aur unko bolte hain hum karmi yogi hain. Gita is teaching yat karoshi yat jahosi, jo kuch bhi aap karo bhagwan ko jeevan mein jod do. अगर भगवान को जीवन में आपने जिस चीज में नहीं जोड़ा वो माया है। जैसे कि नरसिंह प्रभु जी कहा कि देखिए हम एक्सक्यूज मी कि भक्ति रसा नेक्टर ऑफ डिवोशन, नेक्टर ऑफ डिवोशन बहुत से रूल्स एंड रेगुलेशन हैं। यदि हम प्रभुपाद जी ने बताए हुए चार सिद्धांतों को फॉलो करें, 16 राउंड का जाप करें, भक्तों की सेवा करें, लेकिन प्रभुपाद जी ने जो भी हमको किताबें दी हैं उन किताबों का हमको भाव समझकर, वी नीड गाइडेंस, विदाउट गाइडेंस वी कैन नॉट अंडरस्टैंड एनीथिंग। सो गुरु की जरूरत, और जब आपकी इच्छा होगी गुरु किसको लें। अभी एक पिक्चर आई है, कहते हैं लोग, मैंने वो बता रहे हैं, ओ माय गॉड व्हाट इज दिस, ओ माय गॉड कितना पाखंड समाज के अंदर चल रहा है। उस पाखंड को हमको निकालना पड़ेगा। वो प्रभुपाद जी ने उस पाखंड को दुनिया से कैसे निकाला है उसका जरा इस फिलोसफिकल मेथड, जैसे हम माखन चोर, दिस इज स्पेशल महीना दामोदर, माखन चोर या कृष्ण भगवान रन अवे विद द क्रॉस ऑफ गोपीज। नाउ टू अंडरस्टैंड दिस सब्जेक्ट इट रिक्वायर्स रियली रियल भक्ति। माखन चोर मींस व्हाट इज, एंड वी आर वर्शिपिंग हिम, ही रन अवे फ्रॉम रोबोट बैटल फील्ड, ही इज कंसीडर रन चोर एंड वी आर वर्शिपिंग, व्हाई भगवान की पूजा हम क्यों कर रहे हैं। मूर्खों को पता नहीं है कि चोरी कर रहे हैं और पूजा कर रहे हैं, और वो उनके भगवान को क्रिटिसाइज, उनके कपड़े भगे। एक इंडिया के टॉप मोस्ट बिगेस्ट पॉलिटिशियन ने कहा है, अगर भगवान लॉर्ड कृष्णा है रन अवे विद द क्लोथ्स ऑफ गोपी, आई विल नॉट कॉल माई सेल्फ हिंदू।
I cannot open his mention his name. People so fool, they don't know. Makhan chur means everything belongs to Krishna. अगर मेरे घर में जाकर के मैं कोई चीज माखन खाता हूं, I am माखन चोर. But who is teaching? So, Prabhupada has taught us. Prabhupada has taught us that by this method, you see, whatever is being told, क्योंकि अभी तक everything is being spoiled by this. They have made this spiritual life, इन लोगों ने धंधा बना लिया. ये ओ माय गॉड में यही बताया है कि किस तरह से लोगों ने स्पिरिचुअल लाइफ को धंधा बना लिया है. और अंत में से ये बोलूंगा, जो एजुकेशन आज की है, दिस इज द मोस्ट यूजलेस. श्रील प्रभुपाद सेड इट इज स्लॉटर हाउसेस. स्लॉटर हाउस का मतलब समझिए कि वो जन्म मृत्यु के चक्कर से छुटकारा नहीं मिलेगा. कैसा है, आज हम अपने बच्चों को भेज रहे हैं हायर एजुकेशन के लिए. इफ द कृष्णा इज नॉट देयर, गॉड नहीं है उस एजुकेशन के अंदर, तो आपको मालूम है, गिद्ध होता है, ईगल फ्लाइंग 7 miles अवे इन द स्काई, लेकिन वो दूर से क्या देख रहा है, वेयर आई गेट द फ्लैश, मास का डला है. तो आज की एजुकेशन इज टीचिंग अस ओनली मेरे को मजा करने को, सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन को कहां मिलेगा. एंड दैट्स वाई दे आर बिकमिंग एनिमल. Today's education, if God is not there, Prabhupada ji taught us this material civilization and material education is all useless. That's why Srila Prabhupada established this Gurukuls. Prabhupada ji ne jo humko diya hai kitabon ke roop mein, logon ke jeevan mein, Prabhupada ji ki ek bahut important baat hai jo bachpan mein Prabhupada ji ne, unke pitaji ne unse kaha tha, beta tum dusri shaadi karna chahte ho, you want to marry another girl? I will tell you, don't marry another girl. इसका conclusion क्या है? बोला कि you will not be in position to make spiritual progress. इसलिए हमको इससे क्या सीखना है कि spiritual life में हमको family life में जो बहुत ज्यादा attach हैं, वो कभी progress नहीं कर सकते हैं. जो फैमिली लाइफ से वेरी मच अटैच्ड, दे कैन नेवर मेक स्पिरिचुअल प्रोग्रेस. वी मस्ट डू अवर ड्यूटी इन, आई एम नॉट निग्लेक्टिंग कि वी शुड नॉट टेक केयर ऑफ अवर फैमिली पीपल, बट वी मस्ट टेक केयर ऑफ अवर फैमिली पीपल. प्रभुपाद जी ने, उनके पिताजी ने, उनके द्वारा प्रभुपाद जी ने उनकी बात मानी. और आज वो कई लोग जो फैमिली में बहुत इन्वॉल्व हैं, उसी में ही लगे रहते हैं, जिंदगी भर बाहर नहीं निकल सकते हैं, क्योंकि 99% पीपल आर मैरिड पीपल and they are involved in the family. Isliye it is very very essential that we must get association of devotee. Aur seva karne ki bhavna jab aayegi, agar aap chanting theek dhang se karenge to seva karne ki bhavna jab aayegi. Agar seva karne ki bhavna aapko chanting se nahi aa rahi hai, to iska matlab hai aapki seva karne mein kahin gadbad hai. Seva karne ki aadat aana hi chahiye. Then you can judge whether you are making spiritual progress or you are not making spiritual progress. These are the few points that Prabhupada has given us. And agar wo cheezon ko thoda bahut humne jeevan mein utara hai, isliye hum sab log yahan baithe hain. Aaj Prabhupada ji ke bataye hue tarike se agar hum apna jeevan nahi chalate, to hum bhi clubon mein baithe hue kya kar rahe hote. Ye Prabhupada ji ki teachings hai, unki preachings hai, uski wajah se aaj pure world mein Hare Krishna movement, हर जगह हरे कृष्ण का नाम हो गया है. तो प्रभुपाद की
हरे कृष्ण. थैंक यू महाप्रभु जी फॉर एक्सपोजिंग द फॉल्स इंडियन मेंटालिटी वो अटैच टू रिचुअल्स रादर देन स्पिरिचुअलिटी एंड फॉर हाउ शुड अ प्रभुपाद बोल्डली एक्सपोज दिस एंड महाप्रभु जी वॉज एनकरेजिंग ऑल ऑफ अस ऑल्सो टू कंटिन्यू दिस काइंड ऑफ एटीट्यूड. Not be attached falsely to family, but come out of it in a spiritual way. Thank you, Mahaprabhu. Now we have with us another Dr. Patel. Vishakha Mataji mentioned about the past time that Srila Prabhupada had with Dr. Patel, whom we know. Now we have another one who hasn't met Srila Prabhupada, but was definitely been inspired by Prabhupada, so much so that he was once famous for being an abortionist. Now he is famous for being an anti-abortionist. Thank you, Dr. Patel, for being with us.
Mr. President, Prajari Prabhu, distinguished Prabhupada's disciples, ladies and gentlemen. I must thank you for a good introduction, few nice words. My memory goes 40 years back. As a young surgeon, I joined Nanavati Hospital in 1973. There was no good restaurants and I used to operate there from 8 a.m. till 4 p.m. We did not have good restaurants. There was a temple here. We had three surgeons, myself, there was one orthopedic surgeon and a cancer surgeon. We used to start our surgery at 8 o'clock and keep on operating. We were wondering where to go for a lunch, prasadam. Now we call it as a prasadam, we used to call it as a lunch. And we thought the nearest place where we could get a good prasadam was a Hare Krishna temple. Many of the devotees in Saffron used to come to Nanavati Hospital because there were not very good hospitals nearby. And most of them used to come and they used to say, "Sir, why did you come to temple?" So that orthopedic surgeon, he always used to tease me, "Are kya pagal ho gaya hai kya? Mandir mein abhi thoda jane ka hai, mandir mein budhape mein jane ka, jab aap retire ho jayenge, jab kuch kaam nahi karenge." Anyway, because I was the youngest, I used to listen to them because they were senior to me. I used to help them. And we three used to come for lunch here. That time the lunch they were serving for 20 rupees. Excellent lunch, which even today we don't get that sort of lunch. Fine. Many times those devotees used to tell us, "Sahab, would you like to meet our Prabhuji?" We were wondering, who is this Prabhuji? It was nothing but, it was nobody but, it was Srila Prabhupada. And we said, somehow we did not have much of experience for people in Saffron. So we used to say, "Okay, we'll see, come next time, etc., etc., because we have a short of time." Here everybody has met Srila Prabhupada, they have worked with him. I am the only unfortunate, though he was very near, I could not meet him, I did not talk him. I had an opportunity, but I could not meet Srila Prabhupada, and I regret for that. He passed away on 14th November 1977. What Srila Prabhupada has given us is something fantastic. Somebody said, what doctors are doing? Doctors have their own limitations. Where jab dawa nahi kaam karti hai, toh dua kaam karti hai. And that dua comes from nobody but Srila Prabhupada. Setiji mentioned about doctors. Mahaprabhuji, of course, I am always at disadvantage. Because whenever he speaks, I speak after him. And such a powerful speaker that after he speaks, he says, "Dr. Patel kya pagal ke jaisa kuch bol gaya." He must learn from Mahaprabhuji. I admire him, I know him for last 25 years. I have been attending his satsang programs on Fridays at Khar. I think he is the only living legend who has been running satsang for more than 30 years, 28, 30 years. And I think he is a true devotee. So when I always speak after him and I feel I am always at a loss. Anyway, we are coming to today's subject. What Srila Prabhupada has given? He has given four things. Number one is chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He has given us beautiful books. He has given us beautiful temples. And he has told us that food for life. What message you and I are going to take? We are going to take only two messages. Number one is chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And number two is distribution of books. Within few days, we are going to have a December month. And we are going to distribute books. And I personally feel that if we can concentrate on these two things, that chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra and distribution of books, probably we will be paying our greatest tribute to Srila Prabhupada. Today I have come here not to speak because a lot of people have spoken about what he has done as one of the finest spiritual ambassador of India. He has ever produced and he has given us knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. But today I am going to speak. He was not only a spiritual ambassador, he also was a very good reformist. Thoda main Hindu mein bhi bolunga ki jab ghar se bahar nikalte hai billi aadi jati hai to bolega nahi apshukan hai. Ghar se bahar nikalte ek vidwa aati hai to bolte nahi vidwa ka darshan hua apshukan hai. Aap cheek khate hai bolte nahi apshukan hai. Ye to khali Hindustan mein hai, lekin when you go to foreign countries in 21st century, even today, it is estimated that more than 10% of the people they do not go on 13th. 13th is supposed to be an unlucky day. On 13th and especially on Friday is supposed to be unlucky day. All over the world, there is an organization which is known as a mental health organization. They have done a survey all over the world. And what have they found? That the entire population in the world, between 8% and 10%, they do not go out on 13th. And if it is a Friday, they sit at home. They do not go on a flight. They do not do any auspicious thing like engagement, wedding ceremonies, going in a new house, etc. Now let's come to Srila Prabhupada. And a young person of 69 years, Srila Prabhupada, at that time, he was Sri Abhay Charan Arvind Swami. At the age of 69, please remember my words, it was 13th of August, it was a Friday, it was 1965, at 9 o'clock, he boarded in a ship called as Jaladurta, at 9 o'clock. And his journey started. His journey started because he had an instruction from his guru that you have to go and do Bhagwan Krishna's preaching. Second day when he was there on the ship, he had a fever, he had a nausea, he had a seasickness, etc., etc. On the third day when he was sleeping, he had a dream. And Lord Krishna came, Srila Prabhupada's dream, and he says, "My dear, I am going to take care of you. You don't worry about your health. You are going to be alright and you are going to do a wonderful thing in the world." Next day, when he was traveling, he had a pain in the chest. He had more than one or two heart attacks. Nearly, I think, in his during journey, he had 3 heart attacks. But he had implicit faith in Krishna and the instruction given by his guru. He became alright. He went to states, United States, started preaching, and he established an organization called as ISKCON. And today, all of us, we are here because of ISKCON, because of Srila Prabhupada. After, he wrote in his diary that though it was a 13th and it was a Friday, it was not an unlucky day. We consider 13th as an unlucky day. Somebody took an interview of Srila Prabhupada and said, "Sir, do you think 13th was an unlucky day? Do you think Friday was an unlucky day?" He says, "No, no day is unlucky. You must have faith in what you are doing." He says, "Though it was a 13th, though it was a Friday, I started working because of instruction from my guru and I was going for a work for Lord Krishna." And this is what he proved the entire world wrong, that you don't have to be worried about what day, what happens, whether the cat goes away, whether you sneak. I think if you have an implicit faith in God, you can do anything. Today he has done wonders and he has given us one of the finest thing is chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. I can speak for a long time, but I was told that you have to speak few words, and instead of few words I have spoken few sentences. Let us pay our humble tribute to this great personality, one of the finest spiritual ambassador India has ever produced, and I am sure he is going to be leaving our hearts for years and thousands of years to come. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Patel, for showing that aspect of Srila Prabhupada as a reformer and as someone who has implicit faith in the instructions of his spiritual master. That was one more Dr. Patel. Now we have one more Vishakha Mataji. She is also a senior devotee from South Africa, spent quite some time in India for the past decade or more.
Om Agyanati Mirandasi Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militamiyana Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances to my eternal instructing spiritual master Srila Prabhupada, who has opened my eyes with the torchlight of his Bhaktivedanta purport. I offer my humble obeisances to my initiating spiritual master, His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj, who is teaching me how to understand Srila Prabhupada's purport. And I offer my humble obeisances to all of you devotees and aspiring devotees who are helping me in my day-to-day life. Hare Krishna. Today is a very special day, as we know. But for me, it is doubly auspicious because this is the day when, on the first anniversary of Srila Prabhupada's appearance in 1978, I joined the ashram in South Africa, in near Durban. And actually, I did not know I was joining. I just thought I was coming for a few days to find out what spiritual life was about. I didn't know who Srila Prabhupada was, although I had seen posters of him in 1975 at the university. I'm convinced that on that day I received the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, because, again, even though I didn't know what I was doing, I just came and stayed there, and there must have been a program like this, and Abhishek, and not Abhishek, offering and Pushpa offering and all that. And after that I decided to stay, and I stayed. So today is the 34 years completed in trying to serve Srila Prabhupada. I have been meditating on some statements, how Srila Prabhupada built a house in which the whole world can live. This is a famous statement. I do not recall who said it, but Srila Prabhupada himself said that I have given you the framework and now you just have to fill it in. So the framework is there. We do not have to modify Srila Prabhupada's house. It is there for the next 10,000 years and everybody can live in it. I was thinking this morning about Srila Prabhupada's, his vision of a Mahabhagavat. Of course, Srila Prabhupada is much more than a Mahabhagavat, but his vision, I'll give two examples. One, I think it was Maharaj this morning, mentioned Atreya Rishi Prabhu, and he was from Iran, and an important person materially. And he was very enthusiastic to propagate Krishna consciousness in Iran. And one day, in great enthusiasm, he was telling Srila Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, won't it be wonderful the day when all the Muslims are chanting Hare Krishna?" And Srila Prabhupada looked at, made a face and said, "Don't try to turn me into a sectarian. They don't have to chant Hare Krishna. They can chant Allah, Allah. There's nothing wrong with that." Another occasion, Srila Prabhupada used to say that you don't have to change anything. We are not trying to change, turn Christians into Hindus or Muslims or Jews or anything into anything else. We just want them to add the chanting of the holy names of God to their life, and then everything will be perfect. So Srila Prabhupada really had equal vision. He didn't have any favorites. Another thing I was reading this morning was about the GBC meetings of 1976 in Mayapur. And I was reading that in the Lilamrita, that the leaders had decided that no single woman with children could stay in the temples. Now this doesn't apply anymore. There's Hare Krishna. So they made these resolutions and then they read them to Srila Prabhupada. And when they read that one resolution that no single woman with children should stay on Hare Krishna land, I mean should stay in the temples, Srila Prabhupada went, And then I think it was Tamal Krishna Goswami understood that, oh, okay, Srila Prabhupada. So, yes, actually Srila Prabhupada went, And then he said, "As for myself, I'm only concerned that nobody should waste this human form of life. For myself, I cannot discriminate. Man, woman, rich, poor, American, Indian. I'm just concerned that they should not waste their human form of life. So then Tamal Krishna Goswami said that, all right, Srila Prabhupada, we will scrap this resolution. So I'm not trying to make propaganda for single women with or without children to live in the temples. Things have changed now. When I joined ISKCON, everybody lived in the temple. There was no such thing as devotees living outside the temple. But even then, Srila Prabhupada did tell His Holiness Girishwami right here in Hare Krishna land that most people will not live in the temple. The temple is an inspiration wherefrom they will take the idea of worshipping Krishna, offering their food, chanting Hare Krishna, reading Shastra and distributing books. And they will be doing that in their own place. I'm very grateful to Srila Prabhupada for protecting me throughout my spiritual life. As I said, I joined unknowingly on his first disappearance day. And then again in 1982, my first spiritual master left ISKCON. He was the first one to leave. And at that time, miraculously, I found a beautiful picture of Srila Prabhupada in the trash, believe it or not. And it was a picture of Srila Prabhupada in Juhu, actually. And under that old Vyasa stand that is still there in Srila Prabhupada's quarters. So I understood. Although half of our yatra left and left, they left Krishna consciousness. But I understood, no, Srila Prabhupada is still here, his teachings are still here. There's no reason to leave. And again it happened in 1986. The next spiritual master also left. And then I had a dream of Srila Prabhupada where he was being very kind and personal to me, wiping the tears of my face and telling me, don't worry, I'm here now and I will take care of you. And he did take care of me. And ultimately, because it is the instruction of Krishna that we should surrender to a living spiritual master, I finally got the opportunity to choose my own spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada's right-hand man here in Juhu. And so Srila Prabhupada has been looking after me and he's still looking after all of us. And I pray that I never leave ISKCON and that I always try to serve all of its members in a humble mood and with a loving heart. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Shekhar Mataji, for giving the realization on Prabhupada's vision of how we made a whole house that everyone could live in. Thank you. Now we have the final concluding speaker, no other than His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj. He has spoken at length in the class before, so he will just
Doshant
speak for a few minutes.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Parishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swanam Jinnamani Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharya Nirvishesha Shriya Vipasya. Who comes say sab gaurangi
Hare Krishna. Please jaa jaa dhyan se suniyega. Jin logon ko baat karni hai wo kripa karke bahar ja sakte hain. Maharaj ka lecture prarambh ho raha hai, koi bhi vyakti baat nahi karega.
Hare Krishna. Subah mein angrezi mein baat ki to abhi koshish karunga hindi mein Srila Prabhupada ki mahima ke bare mein kuch kehna. Srila Prabhupada ki mahima, Srila Prabhupada ki vani sab apar asim hai. Visheshkar yahan par Srila Prabhupada ka Sri Sri Radha Rasbihari Mandir Juhu Beach
मुंबई स्थित मंदिर में, विशेषकर मेरे मन में श्रील प्रभुपाद की वाणी से ये श्लोक आते हैं जो श्रील प्रभुपाद बार बार कहते थे, भारत भूमि से होलो मनुष्य जन्म जा, जन्म शात करे करो पर उपकार। इसका अर्थ समझ सहज है कि जिनकी बड़े भाग्य से मनुष्य जन्म प्राप्त किया है, विशेषकर इस भारत भूमि में, आपका कर्तव्य है जन्म सार्थक करना। तो सब भारतीय लोग तो बहुत व्यस्त है जन्म सार्थक करने में, सार्थ आर्थ का मतलब पैसा, तो सब लोग व्यस्त रहते हैं पैसा कमाने में। परंतु चैतन्य महाप्रभु सार्थक इस शब्द से हमको खास आपको समझाया कि जन्म मृत्यु जरा व्याधि चक्र से मुक्त होना चाहिए और कृष्ण प्रेम प्राप्त होना चाहिए। तो दो उपदेश है, जन्म सार्थक करी करो पर उपकार। और श्रील प्रभुपाद का सब जीवन सब चेष्टाओं उनका पूरा प्राण इस पर उपकार का उद्देश्य से चलता था। वे सरस्वती ठाकुर भक्ति संत सरस्वती ठाकुर के शिष्य हैं और सरस्वती ठाकुर भी उनका जीवन का मूल सूत्र यही है पर उपकार। श्रील प्रभुपाद इतना कष्ट से अमेरिका गए थे और वहां पर इतना संघर्ष करके कृष्ण भक्ति प्रचार की और पूरे जीवन में बहुत संघर्ष किया, किस लिए? जिससे पर उपकार हो। पर उपकार का मतलब दूसरे, जिससे दूसरे लोग का हित होगा। और पर उपकार, ये पर शब्द एक अर्थ है दूसरे लोगों का, और पर इस शब्द का दूसरा अर्थ है परम, या इस मतलब भौतिक उपकार है। बहुत बहुत संस्थ है जो भौतिक जन कल्याण में, भौतिक जन कल्याण के लिए कोशिश करते हैं। श्रील प्रभुपाद सबका वास्तव हित, आध्यात्मिक हित के लिए सब चेष्टाओं की है और चैतन्य महाप्रभु का आदेश के अनुसार हमको भी बताया पर उपकार करना। और विशेषकर जो लोग, जो जीव असंख्य जीवों में, जो अभी भारत भूमि में मनुष्य जन्म प्राप्त किया है, उनका कर्तव्य है जन्म सार्थक करे करो पर उपकार। जन्म सार्थक कैसे करना है? कृष्ण भक्ति करने से। और पर उपकार कैसे करना है? कृष्ण भक्ति प्रचार करने से। तो मुझको 5 मिनट समय दिया था तो संक्षेप में बोल दिया। वो मैराथन सामने है, बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन मैराथन। श्रील प्रभुपाद ने कहा कि प्रचार में श्रेष्ठ उपाय है श्रील प्रभुपाद की दिव्य पुस्तक का वितरण, और पूरे दुनिया में मैराथन में इस्कॉन जुहू मंदिर बहुत दाते 1 नंबर पद मिला।
लेकिन कंपटीशन भी है, माया पर एक दूसरा मंदिर है यहां से थोड़ा दूर, चौपाटी मंदिर, सब कंपटीशन है नहीं। और मॉस्को, दिल्ली, 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 टॉप इन द वर्ल्ड। सो मैं श्रील प्रभुपाद का तरफ से आपको आपसे अनुरोध करता हूँ या आदेश देता हूँ, तो दो नंबर मत हो, एक नंबर बन जाओ मैराथन में। तो आशा है पहले जनवरी में आप और बहुत जोर से ऐसे हाथ थाली करेंगे। तो जैसे श्रील प्रभुपाद बहुत संघर्ष करके प्रचार किया है, तो बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन में कष्ट लेना पड़ेगा। तो आप सब करो, और अगर आप एक नंबर या दो नंबर या जो भी नंबर आप हो, तो इस कंपटीशन में सब एक नंबर होते हैं, सब श्रील प्रभुपाद की पूरी कृपा मिलती है। तो ऐसे करो। हरे कृष्ण।
Thank you for summarizing in Hindi Krishna consciousness and encouraging everyone to distribute books. Okay. So the program now onwards is as follows. We'll be just now immediately having the Pushpanjali, which will be followed by Aarti and Kirtan,